I want to be a great marketer. It's like, well, then go become a great salesman that then learns market. You know what I mean? Like, I can't convert your leads unless you know how to sell the leads. So then your conversions are going to be off. Your marketing copy is going to be off.
Plug into the minds of the world's cutting-edge innovators, visionaries, and thought leaders who are rewriting the rules of sales and success. It's your time to make an impact. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast. Welcome back, everybody, to the Selling with Love podcast. I'm very excited about the conversation we're going to have today because I think we're going to look at sales from a lot of different perspectives and really look at what does it take to be able to change your life situation, have more revenue coming into your business, getting those sales to actually close. And if that's something you have struggled with, we're going to learn the skills, the mindsets that are necessary for you to be a sales carnivore. The person that I'm bringing on to the show is Sam Taggart, just released another one of his books. The man is a multiple best-selling author. Eat What You Kill has just come out and is How to Become a Sales Carnivore. This is an episode that is not going to be for the faint of heart, but I really want to bring a lot of heart and love into the conversation of sales. But there's an instinct that we need to be able to go out there and do what is necessary to make sales happen. So we're going to speak with Sam, go deeper into that. If you're not familiar with Sam, CEO of Door-to-Door Experts, founder of Door-to-Door Con, a man that has spoken about door-to-door sales, has shifted how it's done more successfully. And if you're already feeling, oh my God, we're going to talk about door-to-door sales here, hold on to your hats. Most of the greatest skills that are going to be developed in getting you to face the fear of rejection come from doing what is not comfortable. And I can't wait to dig into the story of door-to-door sales and sales of all other kinds. Sam, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jason. What a pleasure.
Well, it is a pleasure to have a fellow salesperson on the show. And oh my God, you start with being a sales carnivore. Are we talking about, you know, if I'm a plant-based diet person, am I already screwed? Like I can't do sales anymore?
Well, I was pescaflexitarian for a while. You know, we're not talking about your diet. We're talking about how you approach business, entrepreneurship, life. And it's not even just sales. I think it's a lot of people live life with their fitness relationship kind of like an herbivore. You know, they're very like, I'm a farmer. I hope it happens. I hope it comes to me, where this hunter carnivore type mentality and sales strategy is more of a, you know, I'm going to go out and get it. You know what I mean? So my whole life was built around door-to-door sales since I was a little kid. And that's all I did all growing up and made millions of dollars doing it. And so I kind of just had, when I started seeing sales archetypes and sales careers outside of my little bubble, I was like, oh, you guys have leads? Like, what? You get a lead? It's like, I don't even know what that is. Like, you know what I mean? And they're like, wait, you don't get appointments set on your calendar pre, like, conditioned when they're all like ready to just close? Like, I'm like, no, I get my face kicked in all day for 20 years. Like, you know what I mean? So it's just kind of this, can we bring business owners a little bit more of resilience and, you know, some thicker skin and do it with love. You know, I'm definitely not the hardcore closer. I'm definitely not the high pressure guy. I have a very passively persistent approach to how I sell, but I don't want to look at my outcomes being passive. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does make sense. And it's obviously something that was at the back of the mind for people probably tuning in saying like, oh my God, did Jason just bring in a monster on the show who's going to teach us how to do manipulative, sleazy sales, which is often the misconception or the real conception of what door-to-door sales is. What did you discover knocking on those doors and how have you done it differently?
Yeah. So, I mean, the mission of 8 years ago in 2018, we started our first door-to-door event called DDDCon. And now we host about 30 events a year. You know, up to 3,000-4,000 people come to our events. And the mission was to unify, up-level, and bring honor and integrity to the door-to-door space because it does get that rap. And I felt, you know, when I was in college, and I remember I came home from, I did summer sales, so I'd ship out to Texas, I'd sell alarm systems. And I remember my grandma was like, how long are you going to, you know, keep doing this? When are you going to get a real job? You know, I'm going to college to get a real job. But that summer when I was 22, I made like 550 grand in 4 months. And I remember looking at my biology teacher being like, how much does this guy make? You know what I mean? And And I felt good about what I did because at first it was like, you know, is this real? Is this good? Does everybody need an alarm system? I never even grew up with a house key. I lived in the mountains. You know what I mean? Like, I'm wondering, like, am I doing this wrong? And then I was like, no, selling is serving. And I don't know who is behind the robbery or the invasion or the fire or the, you know what I mean? I'm not God. Like, I don't know which one's going to have a break-in. So I might as well protect them all. And I'm going to get resistance and I'm going to get, I don't know, I better think about it. It's my duty to remove the interference and communicate properly to where then they thank me. And I remember in chapter 11 of my book, so if you haven't gotten a copy yet, Eat What You Kill, it's on Amazon, it's on all the different places you could buy books. But I remember a guy asked me the other day, he's like, what's your favorite chapter? And it's chapter 11, where it's like, you might be saving a life. And I think if everybody approached their product, if everybody approached their selling energy, whether you're selling candles, fruit, I don't care what you're selling, you might be saving a life. And I remember I went and sold this old dude and it took me 3 hours to sell. He was super resistant, you know, stubborn old dude. And a year later, I went back to the same town and I knocked this door and the lady answers and she's like, are you Sam Taggart? And I was like, yeah. You know my name? Like, you know what I mean? And she starts to cry. And I'm like normally you get spit on, thrown up on, thrown in jail. You know what I mean? Like guns pulled on you, dogs sicked on you. I could give you every swear word that I've never even heard of, learn new words all the time, knocked in doors. But she cried. And I was like, okay.
What have you done?
Yeah, I was like, am I that bad looking? Like, what? Like, okay. This is the thing. And she's like, come with me. And I was like, what? So she drives me. I'm in this teeny, teeny little town in Canadian, Texas. I mean, it's in the panhandle, stinking Timbuktu. And she drives me to her dad's house. And she's like, you sold him this alarm system last year. And he got that medical pendant and he fell. And had he not had this, he'd be dead. And I go, for the thousands of alarm customers that probably never even turned it on, that I didn't even know. You know what I mean? They're paying 50 to 60 bucks a month or whatever. It was for that one guy. You know what I mean? And I'm like, maybe all of them got scammed. I don't know. But I just saved this dude's life. And like, for me, I felt I could do it ethically. I could do it honestly. I could do it with the right energy. I could be a good guy. Like, and everybody gets this perception of, oh, you're a salesman. You're sleazy. You're doing this. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, dude, if I can do this with integrity, like, this is one of the greatest professions I could do ever. And I've sold everything under the sun now, from roofing and HVAC and solar and pest. And I mean, could go on, but it's like, I approach selling as like, I don't know, but I do know my product's amazing and I'm here to serve you. You just don't know that yet. And if you suck at selling, then that sucks. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. You're just the interference. That's your problem. Like, stop trying to blame everything else. Just get better at selling.
Well, Sam, this is very interesting because I think with the birth of the internet, there's a lot of different ways you can go about building your business now. It's like you can build a social media following and you can be attractive and you can make sure that, you know, you don't need to even face your customers. For the longest of times, you can delay the sales conversation and distract yourself with a lot of little things. And even as you spoke, you're like, wait a second, you can get leads, you can have setters, you can have all these things that make it very, very easy to get to the point of having to ask for the sale and be confronting a potential client face to face, one to one. So my question I have to you is, how do you think the experience you've had going and doing the hard thing of door to door sales has even enabled you to have so much more ease when you're doing things how people are modernly selling online?
I mean, it makes the modern day selling almost look like third graders. You know what I mean? It's like, you think you know you're selling. Like, I remember I had an interview. Like, we have a team of probably 10 sales guys now. I was the VP of sales of 100 sales guys. I've recruited and managed hundreds and hundreds of salespeople. And I was interviewing a cat the other day, and he's like, I have sales experience. I was like, okay, tell me about your sales experience. And he was like, well, I worked at T-Mobile at the mall. And I was like, so what was your sales experience? So people came in because they needed a phone, and then you took the order of the phone that he was coming in to buy? I was like, so what you selling? And like, well, you know, like the accessories or something. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, that's cool. Like, was it hard? Like what happens if they said no? Did you lose your job? Did you still get a paycheck? You know what I mean? Like, did you get an hourly pay? Like, And I think this is where people sit in their comfort of their W-2 or their salary or their base, where all of a sudden I started in coaching and I've done, you know, tens of millions of dollars in coaching, consulting, sales, and things like that now. And I do have a big social media presence and leads and things like that. And it's funny to see with my sales guys. And I was like, I don't want guys like you to work for me. No offense, because you think you know sales. I like to recruit guys that come from my world, because a salesman selling to a salesman, there's true relatability. There's true, like, you know, like I can relate when you're probably going 3 weeks without a paycheck. You told your wife, honey, I'm chasing a big dream here because commission only, uncapped potential. And you've gone 3 weeks and you haven't made a dime. And she's over here like, hey, honey, you got to go back to like get a job to pay rent, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I want guys that can relate to that. And, you know, the hardship of taking somebody from a zero, meaning I'm cooking dinner, not even thinking about this, to signing documents for $30,000 an hour later, like slapping five, writing check to you that wasn't even thinking about this thing. Like, to me, that's the most beautiful thing of selling. But the fact that you've got somebody that's DMing you or signing up for a lead magnet or whatever, that's raising their hand saying, I'm kind of interested in this thing. You've just filtered out, like, I don't know, the 99 of the 100 doors we had to go knock to just find somebody to raise their hand and be like, okay, I'll listen to you, little dude. And you're like, all right. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I could just imagine if this was physically like represented is be driving down the neighborhoods and seeing like who's outside on their porch holding a sign saying, maybe anyone wants to talk.
Yeah, like, that's a form, you know? Hey, come to my place. That just doesn't happen in door-to-door. Like, think about that. Like, you knock the door, they might even want it. And then they're like, oh, it's a door-to-door guy. Oh, we've been really interested in that. But I don't buy from door-to-door. You know what I mean? You're like, you just told me you were interested in the thing. But then you're like, I don't buy from door-to-door. Like, I'm right here. He did you. I'm a miracle, bro. I showed up to your doorstep. And you still will tell me no.
And you know what's funny, Sam, is like you've done door to door. For me, I did the like one step removed. I did a lot of telephone sales when I was young, and that built a lot of my, you know, overcoming the fear of rejection, realizing I'm not going to die if the person doesn't like me. And I've noticed so many people who are entrepreneurs who have a background in doing something like this, whether they worked in an MLM or they went door to door or they did some telephone sales. But there was like a graduation event, almost like a rite of passage in the sales world.
People want to skip that.
That's the problem. Like, yes, people want to skip that.
They want to. It's like, I want to go get my bachelor's degree without going to high school. It's like, oh, well, hold on. You got to do the high school before you, like, I want to go be a successful entrepreneur with now learning how to get my face kicked in, communication, resilience, the cold call. Like, I want to be a great marketer. It's like, well, then go become a great salesman that then learns market. You know what I mean? Like, I can't convert your leads unless you know how to sell the leads. So then your conversions are going to be off. Your marketing copy is going to be off. Like, everything you learn about human buying patterns, like, people want the shortcut. They want the microwave mentality, you know, and especially the younger generation. Oh my gosh. Like, speaking of that, it's like, oh, you want to make tens of thousands of dollars by posting you in front of a rented Lambo and somehow you know how to coach somebody now that you did nothing with your life. And like, good job, dude. Like,
but Sam, one thing that I do see is you'll have the young generation in all ages that has the fake Lambo rented stuff and like claims to have made a lot of money. But number one, I know a lot of those results are fake, but there's some of them that still do succeed and it does feel scammy. It does seem like it's coming from the wrong place. And I feel there's a lot of the people listening in, me included, I'll sometimes watch this and be like, what the hell? This doesn't seem right. And what I've noticed is someone who just checks a few boxes on the getting attention, sells something crazy with promises they may not be able to back up, can sometimes have more success than the person who cares, wants to serve, hasn't done the graduation of learning sales, but they're still watching this saying, oh, now I need to become like a douchebag doing like this to be able to have any kind of success. And I'm trying to show them another way. What do you usually respond to the person that's feeling that space?
Guys, like short-term versus long-term success. You know, you think of like net worth versus like the problem is that our body and our inner soul has to keep up with our external soul. Does that make sense? So like if all of a sudden we have all this, it's like an athlete. And I look at myself and my career, like a lot of the people we coach are young. They're making $1 million, 500 grand in their young 20s. So I think of them as like athletes. And the problem is they go and they make all this money, but their internal soul isn't ready to make all this money. And then they lose it all the second they get hurt, you know, like an athlete retires and then they're broke again. And so I watch a lot of people never develop as fast internally as they would externally. And so if you think of like the wise and the older person, they're like, dude, invest. Don't be an idiot. Don't buy the Lambo. Don't do things for flash. Don't do things for, because in 20 years, you're not going to remember the photos of the Lambo that you then got repo 10 years later, you know, but you are going to remember a 401k that you put 300 grand into and it accumulated compounding interest for 20 years. And now it's worth like $5 million. And you're sitting there going, man, I'm so grateful that I made wise decisions at a young age. Does that make sense? But like, you're underdeveloped to even think that far into the future and to have those decision-making skills and life experience. And so what happens is these young, successful flash is they actually are reliant solely on the dopamine of being liked, being seen, but there's no real character value and tactical, like tangible, like here, I got real actionable value from this. Where it's people like Ed Mylett, I had him on my show, ED podcast with close to his amount. I mean, I was like, how many episodes do you have? I was like, I have 460 something episodes too. I was like, I don't know how long you've been doing this, but I've done it for 8 years now. And I'm sitting in Ed Mylett's, you know, massive mansion in Laguna Beach. It's like five stories. And he goes, Sam, I love this. Like he loved the interview because he's like, what I don't think people realize, I'm worth over $500 million, but I knocked doors for 10 years. He wants to talk about 10 years as me, Ed Mylett, little Eddie, that didn't have a network. I didn't have a relationships I could pull from. I didn't come from wealth, that I knocked doors and sold life insurance. You know what I mean? But yet they want to be on the Ed Mylett show and they want to watch this and they has great insight. Why do people listen to him? Because he put 10 years of door knocking in to go build a net worth of X, was smart with his money, had influence, grew teams, built successful things. Now we listen to the guy. He has like real tangible stuff to back up his wisdom.
100%. They have to earn the right. And I'd be curious here. If someone's listening to this and being like, you know what? I'm rolling up my sleeves. Sam, like, let's go. Like what I, cause it's a rite of passage that needs to be done. It's almost like a box that needs to be checked. The fear of rejection, the not being liked and all that. So what's the action that you recommend now? Like I would say, I would assume you have a bias towards door to door, but if somebody's like, what do you mean door to door? Like I'm a coach. I'm not going to go to knock the neighbor's door saying, do you want coaching? Like what are some of the things you could do if you want to check this off, get over that fear of rejection? Do we go door to door? Do we start some sort of habit?
Well, go to the freaking gym. Like, think about this. Let's like just take coaching. I'm a personal trainer. I'm at the gym. But the problem is all your clients are sitting there looking at you, be personal trainer. And you're like, I hope they come and talk to me, you herbivore. How about you just say, it's like, are you kidding me? Like, yep, they're just going to naturally walk right. I mean, every once in a while, they're like, you're ripped. What did you do to get ripped? Then you might respond, oh, I'm a personal trainer. Can I train you? That's one out of 100 that are like awkwardly thinking that and they're awkwardly like don't want to talk to you. Well, what if you said my habit is I have 4 gym memberships, I rotate daily, times, gym, and I just cycle through. And I have to talk to 5 people every time I go to the gym. That would include 5 times 6 days a week, let's just say that's 30 new prospects because you're hitting different times a week that you paid $0 for. And let's just say you converted 1 new client out of 30 every single week. How much more money would you have? And how much time did it take you to talk to 5 people?
And you'd probably work in a set every single time. So you'd probably be super healthy at the same time.
Exactly. You're working out anyway. But you're like, I do this for a living. And I'm like, I don't know, let's simplify this. But you're like, well, I can't do that. What if they say no? You're like, there's the herbivore in you. Good job, bro. But you want to be a successful personal trainer. And you're sitting there being like, phone, ring, funnel, please give me a good cost per lead and compete with all the other dudes that are doing the same shit.
You know what? I'd rather just go put a social media post because that makes me feel good.
It feels good. Nobody's going to like, you don't feel bad when somebody looks at your ad and swipes up. And they're like, ah, skip this guy. You're not like, oh no.
Could you imagine?
You get the emotion. There's like an IV into you that like is tied to your Facebook.
As a business owner, entrepreneur, someone running an agency, having the top-tier website is very important, and you're more than likely running your business on WordPress. But are you hosting on the best platform possible? That's why I'm excited to bring Kinsta as our sponsor for today's podcast, which allows you for faster load time, top-tier security, and human-only, best-in-class customer support. So if you're looking to have your website hosted on WordPress on the best platform, Kinsta really goes above and beyond to make sure your websites load fast, your SEO is working well, you get the support you need, and you get to keep focused on your business. Are you ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get the free month when you sign up at kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their website. Visit kinsta.com and get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today. Let's say you have a click rate of, say, 2% on the ad. That means you're getting 50 rejections for every opt-in.
Yeah, can you go to bed depressed now?
So I love what the internet has done, because obviously it's allowed us to reach people we never could have reached physically. It accelerates all of that. But I also realize it's taken away the humanity. Like, it's easier to feel like it's bits and accounts, and it's not like the name of a person out there. And how much of that humanity is needed to be tapped into to have more success when you're selling?
Yeah, when you have a name, phone number, email, versus I'm seeing this lady that's struggling to lift up tricep and she looks so awkward at the gym and I can feel her struggling and embarrassment. And I go up empathetically and I say, ma'am, like, you're doing so awesome for just being here. I just want to give you some love. Do you know how much like more your conversation is going to go when you open that way to this lady that's already insecure being in gym versus she like hid behind computer being like, maybe I'll fill this thing out. No, I don't even want to get on the phone with them. That's just awkward. Then what if they like, you go up to that lady and you say, man, I'm proud of you for just being here, woman. Like, I just got to acknowledge the fact that you got out of bed and you made it here today, even though it's probably scary. She would feel like $1 million and she'll go, whatever you tell me and want from me, I'm yours. You know what I mean? It don't matter at that point. That is human. That is called human connection. I don't care what you're selling. You could be selling roofs. You could be selling cars. You could be selling whatever. I'm telling you, it's like, I do a lot of real estate and, you know, all these guys in wholesaling, right? I coach a lot of wholesalers and realtors and, you know, I own a lot of real estate. And they always come to me because they're like, buying lead lists and they have these algorithm apps of all this stuff. And I remember I'm coaching this guy, Cody Sperber, and he's like, dude, how do I get you to go coach on my door drivers? I was like, what's a door driver or whatever? Drive for dollars is what they call it. And they'll drive to homes that are on like pre-foreclosure and take photos of them and upload them to the thing and they'll get paid for that lead. And I was like, wait a minute, you're telling me these people drive all the way to this address. They take a photo of the address and then they go home. They're there. They could walk 15 more feet and knock it and talk to them. Oh, I don't know if I could ever get them to do that. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, so they're going after this like pool of people. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if I could get my ninjas to just talk to them, I bet you I'd convert like, I don't know, 5,000% more than you would off of your photos and some way you're going to call them or something. like,
boy, that sounds very stalkerish if you're not even going to knock at their door.
Like, weird. You're some like, guy who's just, the dude taking photos of my house?
I'd be afraid.
Creeper. Like,
actually, maybe you should go back to selling the alarm systems to every entrance you receive. Yeah,
exactly. Like, tell me where
you notice somebody taking pictures of your house. You should get an alarm system.
Hey, we can tag team this. But to answer your question, Jason, this is fun. To answer your question, I think there's a book that talked about one of the youngest CEOs, and he was Stanley. What's that tool company? Stanley Tools. Hammer, I don't know, what Black & Decker, that's what it was. Huge, huge tool company, Black & Decker. And he's the youngest CEO of a Fortune 50 or Fortune 100 company or whatever they are. And they asked him, he took a very unconventional route to get there, where most people, it's like, go to Harvard. You know, he was a Harvard grad. And usually that's like, you know, they're going to go get a really nice salary right out of Harvard, take a good job, where he went and worked in like customer service. Then he worked in sales. And I was like, why are you wasting away your degree? And he's like, no, as a CEO, the problem is most of you guys are going to go try to shoot for C-level positions out of Harvard. What I'm shooting for is the skill sets developed over a year, 2, 3 year, you know, and then I'm going to take a 5-year route to get there. But I just need to go learn the skill sets it would take to actually be a CEO so I can empathize, understand business. But you guys are just trying to get like paid the most. I think this is where entrepreneurs, I actually think this is a really interesting concept. If I'm in any job or I'm running a business, you probably should learn sales because that's the driver of your business first. So I would almost put your business on pause if it's not where you want it to be. DM me on Instagram and say, hey, Sam, I want to try door-to-door for a month, 2 months, 1 week. I don't effing care. Just go get trained for whatever. For say, I would give it 4 months. Give it a solid summer, 4 months. And then if you like it, keep doing it. If you don't, hopefully you can take those skill sets and go reapply back to your dream job because you probably don't want to knock doors for the rest of your life. Let's just be real. That same approach this guy took to be the CEO of Black & Decker is probably something you've overlooked, you've passed up, and you're probably not willing to go do what he did. Therefore, you're probably not going to get the outcomes that he did. So then they fast forward 5 years and they're like, he was making way more than the average Harvard grad that took the higher pay out of Harvard versus what he did, which was took the skills route. And I think most people, it's like, ask me how many got a professional sales degree, professional sales, you know, training, and then yet they're trying to make professional sales income because business is selling. I don't care what you are. If you try to be like, well, I'm not a salesperson, I'm like, yeah, but you're a business owner. So you just want to run a business with no sales? Even nonprofits have to get sales. They go raise money. Like, I don't care who you are. Like, go be a charity. You still are there going, I need to run this charity and sell people on giving you freaking money.
And you're probably going to have more door-to-door chances if in a nonprofit than any other business.
Bro, I'm telling you, there's door-to-door charity companies. I went to Australia to consult one. So they flew me out to Australia, and it's a big industry in the UK, Australia, Canada, and they go door-to-door selling charity. And it's like, why does Blue Cross Blue Shield, why do some of these big companies pay these guys to go door-to-door? And they're like, because they're customers that are actually cheaper to get capital to pay door-to-door dudes commission to raise money for charity than it is to try to go sell and market and create income through normal other channels of selling people to donate money. Isn't that crazy?
You know, this is where I see, you know, I mean, you're based in Utah, so obviously Mormonism has a huge presence there. And my God, just having at a young age exposure to go door to door, not be afraid of your neighbors. No wonder your proponency to be very successful, like based on your upbringing. And what I compare that to, say, like Catholicism or Christianity, which is like, you know, oh, the rich man doesn't go to heaven. Like the culture you have based on what you were raised around created a whole lot of beliefs around talking to strangers, around what's the role of money, what's sales. And I find that fascinating because if you've had that exposure, whether that's raising funds for charity, promoting your religious beliefs, selling a product or service, it's all a skill that can be developed. And if you haven't had that graduation, you're holding yourself back. I'm so happy you're telling people, put a pause and go knock door to door. I've told them to get on a job. Like I would usually tell them like, stop what you're doing. Go find a job where you can sell someone else's product on the phone so you can have high frequency. You're not even giving the baby steps. You're saying, go to the door to door. Like not, I don't mean baby steps. I'm saying the easy route, like go do what's hard and see where that brings you.
Well, humans don't realize that growth comes through uncomfortability and stretching and breaking ourselves. You can't grow without breaking the muscle, right? You can't, like, we don't realize that putting ourselves in a really hard situation like that will lead to more growth. What we're trying to do with social media and a post is there is no growth in uncomfortability if no one got the views, the likes, the DMs, or whatever you're asking for. There's no growth. Yes, social media channel is growing. You aren't growing. Does that make sense? There was no struggle. The struggle was nothing. Like, I'm sorry it took you a minute to put your TikTok video together. Like, was it a struggle? Like, oh man, it's so hard. I'm like, no. Like, when you have to deal with emotions and pains and your grittiness and you're dealing with resilience, like a long run, like, right, you know, like that's when growth comes. But you're asking for growth without any struggle. Well, get the book, Eat What You Kill. I'm teaching you, and I don't care if you knock doors or not. It's not for a door knocking only. It's for all things sales. But I have a spin on a carnivore, be a go-getter, go find it, like I just taught you at a gym. I don't care, but you go hunt instead of you go wait, because those are the survival of the fittest. The king of the jungle is not an herbivore. I'm sorry. It's a lion.
Well, I picked up a copy, by the way, just because I think there's always more you can learn when you start exposing yourself to remembering what is the most effective things to do. And regardless of where you are in business, if you just want more success, sales is always going to be one step beside you. And so I'm very, very glad you've brought this forward. I'd be curious to know, when you first got started, like, you seem to be a guy that, you know, lives, breathes, eats, sleeps when it comes to sales. Was it always like that? Like, were you someone that's like, oh, very natural salesy? Or were there like a journey you had to go through very early on before you kind of clicked on sales?
Both. And I've gone through my own iterations of journeys. Like, I was always a social kid. Like, I wouldn't have called myself the shy, quiet one. I am the most quiet in my family, which is interesting. But my family's an entrepreneurial family. And my dad, luckily, was like, you got two legs. If you want something, go get it. So I went out and sold golf balls, and I had a curb painting business all through high school. So like, all I did in the young age was, I learned quickly when I started knocking doors at 11, why would I go when I could make 50 bucks as an 11-year-old in 2 hours? And I'm like, $25 an hour. I'm like, I can't go get a job as 11. I'm not even employable. So, you know what I mean? And then through high school, I was making hundreds of dollars every weekend and painting curbs. And I learned that the strangers had what I wanted. And so I learned how to get over the whole, like, I could go to a normal job and get paid like 1/10 of what I'm making now. And I don't get to play basketball and do it when I want and all those things. But then like my first summer selling, I made like 20 grand and I was about average. You know what I mean? I wasn't like out of the womb, like I am the greatest. And then the next year I made 80 grand and the next year I made, you know, 300 grand. And it just kept getting bigger and bigger every summer. And I just slowly developed this skill because I think, and I talk about this in the book, that sales is the language of selling. Like it has its own language. Like when I lived in Argentina, I had to learn Espanol. Like I served a 2-year mission and knocked doors for the church, right? And I learned Spanish. But selling is like, you have to learn the language, right? When, how do you ask the question? When do you pause? When do you shut up? When do you probe? When do you challenge? You know, how do you reframe a sentence to program? Like, how do you read their profile and their body language? Like all that kind of stuff. And I teach all that in the book. But what I learned is I got obsessed with becoming more consciously competent because I started to be like, wow, where's the micro 1% better I could get every day or every week, right? And then how do I teach my guys? Because I led big sales teams and they'd come to me and they're like, how do you do that? I'm like, I don't know. You just say the shit. You say what you say. I say the same thing you do. Why am I selling 10 times more than you are? And I started to obsess, like, how can I create constructs and frameworks and scripts and help train and bring consciousness to why I'm competent? Does that make sense?
100%. Yes. Because when you're feeling like a natural salesperson, now you can't replicate the results. But the fact that you've spent into decoding that and you've been able to bring the results to everybody else, now here lies the clues, the keys, and something that people can take on. I often get scared about stuff like that is people who get obsessed with learning to become consciously competent as an avoidance to just go and do things. So there's like a balance, right?
There's the application. So people think consuming, listening to this podcast, they got better. Wrong. I hate to break it to you. You're 40 minutes in or however long. It sucks to suck. Just because you listen to me, like, I'm serious. Like, it's like, break it to you, newsflash. You didn't, like, you know, you bought the book, you read the book, you consumed. Congratulations. Didn't make you better necessarily. It's application. It's becoming knowing. Here's the difference. I took 30 years of selling, 20 years of my door-to-door experience, and compiled it into a 30-page book. And it's not my first book I've written, but it's like, how do I put my life's work in? I just needed to vomit out the words into the book and make it constructive, right? Where it is knowing. That's the difference of consuming and learning and studying. It's like, how do you become the author of the book? Does that make sense? Like, how do you develop yourself, not by obsessing and just consuming and da-da-da-da-da, but it's like knowing comes through your own personal experience and your own personal wins, your own personal observations that you saw. Man, I learned this chapter of the book. I went out and used those lines. Holy cow, I used them every day now for the last 3 weeks. And look at my percentage just went up. Does that make sense? And it's like, it is now in me. I don't have to think. It's not like I have to try. because I've done it so long, practiced it, become so competent around it, it is who I am now, where it's like my wife sometimes has to be like, are you selling? I'm like, I can't unwind who I am. Like, I'm not even trying to sell you on something. You know what I mean? Like, but it just is who I am naturally, how I communicate, because I learned the power of influence.
Mm-hmm. You know, I also see their habits, even in our conversations. We're always selling. We're always sharing our ideas. So I hear you say, does that make sense? Is also something I use a lot in my regular conversation, because it's like, yeah, I want to get people to nod, be in agreements. And
yeah, it's a tag, Christian. If you unpack the study of why is that a thing, you would understand in neurolinguistic programming, it's a tag question, right? I just did it again, right? I got his head nod going, and I just did another tag question. Can I explain that now to you of why I do that? I just do it now because I learned that I can get an agreement, affinity. I can create, you know, XYZ, right? Like, and we can go into a subconscious of all this, and that could be for another episode, but anyway.
Well, what I'm going to say is, first off, this has been an incredible conversation. I've had so much fun so far. And one of the key things I want to do, especially something you've said in that last sentence, which I think is so important for those of you who listen regularly to the show, you've been just kicked off your podcast. You need to go out there and put in the work. There's so much for you to learn, but so much more for you to apply and get over those fears. I've repeated this a lot of times, which is just like, you got to go out there, do the uncomfortable. And I think the episode you heard here with Sam really reinforced that. I've picked up a copy of the book, but it doesn't mean you stop doing what is about putting yourself out there. You do it in parallel. Don't use the book as a crutch to not go and speak to the people, the humans. And Sam, there is a question I ask everyone on the show, and I think it'll be great to hear from you. You're on the Selling with Love podcast. What does selling with love mean to you?
Well, I think if you truly love someone, you'll sell them. Like, here's the thing. You have this girl, and she's the smoking hot girl that you'd love to take out. And, you know, she's like kind of ignoring you. Well, sell her because you want her to, like, you know what I mean? Like, you got to go up to her. You got to challenge that. You got to be like persistent. You got to, why? Because I want this love. Like, I'm asking for love, and I'm doing it so that I can find my fulfillment with the right intention, right? And if it's just for a one night stand, then that's a whole different intention. But love comes from like, look, I'm truly finding my mate, and I know that I have love in myself, therefore I want to then express and see if there's a match there, right? And if you didn't love and you didn't love yourself, then you would pass up. You would say, you know, I'm going to pass on this chick because I don't feel worthy. Therefore, I don't love myself enough to feel confident enough in myself to then go and express that to that person. Does that make sense? And it's the same thing, because I think selling is you have an insecurity in yourself, therefore you have a lack of ability to close. You have an insecurity in your product and what it can do for them. You have an insecurity in your business. You have an insecurity in but I'm like, if you truly love somebody and have belief in yourself, how would you have any fear to go sell somebody? That to me is selling with love.
Sam, I love so much what you've put together. And you know, one of the key things I take from what you've created is Eat What You Kill, Becoming a Sales Carnivore. First off, everybody listening, grab a copy of that book. And I feel like you've written your message and your angle to reach a certain amount of people to be able to go out there and do what is necessary to learn to sell better, to make their lives better, to make people's lives better when they buy what you sell from a place that actually cares and transforms lives. Your chapter 11 absolutely changes your energy on how you sell.
Let me say one more thing. I don't mean to cut you off, but like, think of Eat What You Kill, but from like the Native Americans or the indigenous people in Africa. Now imagine them going and killing a buffalo. Like, what do they do and how do they honor and how do they, it's not about like, let me put this dude's head up on my thing. It's like they use every piece of it. They have so much honor and respect for their kill. You know what I mean? They make ceremony to it. Then, like, what if you reframe that title to have a little bit more love, like they do the sacredness in the life cycle of that animal? Much like the lubricant in the economy runs on sales. Go, sorry, I just need to add that.
No, like, that was exactly where I was going with it, because I wrote, you know, around selling with love, and I'm speaking to people who would resonate around the messaging of selling with love, and I'm bringing them to the goal of learn to sell. It's a beautiful thing. And I feel like you're a kindred heart that has reached a different demographic and is bringing them to the same place. And there's so many of us who are warriors that are out there teaching people, learn to sell. It makes the world a better place. It brings abundance. It brings growth. It brings everything that we now often take for granted of the world that's beautiful. And all of that has been a result of a sale. And so I am very happy that I got to have a chance to read your book. I want to go deeper into that. I'm so happy for the work you're doing in training people to sell better, to care better on how they sell, to change their lives. And God, this was just a really, really fun conversation. So Sam, thank you. It was a pleasure to have you on the show.
No, thanks for having me. Appreciate that.
I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.